Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. Thanks again for joining us today for this special call with Tony Khan to discuss the upcoming All Out pay-per-view event this Sunday night. So before we get going, just a few quick housekeeping items in the interest of time, and we want to give as many people the opportunity to be involved here. So we checked in with Tony earlier today. He's doing very well, so there's no need for everyone to ask. We appreciate that. We also have kindly refrained that you refrain from asking two-part questions. And please, if we can, keep your questions focused on the upcoming All Out show. So kind of, you know, because that's what's ahead of you for all. And finally, as just mentioned, please make sure your phone is unmuted. We have a huge number of reporters on this particular call. So the tighter we can make it, the more people we can get involved. And I think that's what we all like. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tony Khan for a couple opening thoughts. And then we're going to open the lines after that for questions from you for the next 55 minutes or so. Tony, you there?
Yeah, Jim, I am. Thanks for the great introduction. Hello, everybody. And really excited to catch up with everybody ahead of All Out. Thanks for coming to this. And we could get started whenever you're ready, Jim.
Hey, well, that's wonderful. So let's get going. I'm gonna call on Chris Mueller. He's gonna kick us off here from Bleacher Report. So Chris, be ready here. And after Chris, I'm gonna go to Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics. So Chris, you're leading us off.
Hey Doc.
All right. Thanks. Hey Tony. Thanks for taking the time. So we just saw quite a bit get added to the card here over the last week or two. And I was just kind of wondering if you could expand on why you maybe waited as long as you did to make some of those announcements so close to the event.
Sure. A lot of it was due to people coming back from injury and not being able to control that. So CM Punk, we didn't feel good about CM Punk coming out and doing anything physical till he and his doctors were ready for that. And August 10th, Quake by the Lake, he came back like a bat out of hell. And now there's questions going into Punk Mox 2. Did CM Punk come back too soon? But he definitely came back and got in the ring as quickly as he physically possibly could have. And it has put us in a really interesting situation leading into the pay-per-view and given us a lot to talk about going into this match. So I think that's a very exciting situation. I was really excited about the Bryan Danielson, American Dragon versus Lionheart, Chris Jericho match. It was not really possible to get it going the way I wanted to until around July 27th. I was, I think it was the July 27th was the Wednesday, I believe. And we were in Massachusetts for the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And I had gotten the clearance that Danielson would be coming back finally at the end of July. He had been gone for about 2 months. And I made a lot of fundamental changes to the middle parts of this story. But we were able to do a lot of great things to make everything work out really positively. We had a great Anarchy in the Arena match. It's one of the best matches in AEW history. It is considered a 5-star match by a lot of people. And it's one of my favorite things we've ever done. But the fallout and the really negative part of the match was an injury to Bryan Danielson that put him out of action for about 2 months. And in that time, you're losing one of the greatest wrestling stars in the history of the sport. And that's coming at a time when the world champion CM Punk, another one of the biggest stars in wrestling, was out. So I brought in Claudio Castagnoli to help with the Blackpool Combat Club. And also it was great timing. I had really planned for Claudio to potentially be coming in around the Ring of Honor pay-per-view anyway, but he came in a bit earlier, worked the Forbidden Door and then worked the Blood and Guts match. And by filling in for Brian in the Forbidden Door against Zack Sabre and in the Blood and Guts match against Jericho Appreciation Society, it got Claudio into AEW in an exciting way, really differently and sooner than I had originally planned. And with Bryan Danielson versus Daniel Garcia, I picked things up following Death Before Dishonor with Danielson's comeback match versus Garcia. And of course, Garcia getting a shocking upset win that led to a rematch with Garcia, which was something I built up for the promotion of the HBO House of the Dragon event. And I really wanted to make sure for our awesome media partner, Warner Brothers Discovery, when they asked me to come up with something good to promote House of the Dragon, I felt like I had something really strong with the Danielson versus Garcia 2 out of 3 falls match, with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat at ringside, and all of this to further the storylines of what's happening between Danielson and Garcia, what's happening between Jericho and Garcia, and two of the all-time great wrestlers going one-on-one now, Danielson versus Jericho. And things came full circle this summer. I think Jericho being in the best condition he's been in, you know, Jericho and Mox have really stepped up for the company in a major way when so many of the top stars were down. And it was very fitting that they had that world title match. Again, a lot of people thought that was a 5-star match, and it's another one of my favorite TV matches. And Moxley versus Jericho got us going in a big way at the Quake by the Lake. And then, of course, CM Punk came back after that. And then we saw the Lionheart. I think Chris looks as good as ever. I really do. And certainly as good as he's ever been in AEW. And he's turned back the clock in many ways. And it's amazing to see a side-by-side of Lionheart 26 years apart. I, you know, certainly would have been great to get some of these matches maybe out a little sooner, but I think we hit the beats of the stories perfectly given the availability of the biggest stars. So that's two of the matches on the card. And you know, there's a domino effect with a lot of those things, a lot of reasons why things were announced when they were announced. But certainly for the Trios tournament, for example, we still don't know because of the nature of the tournament. And some of that was based on the availability of the bracketing. Also, Kenny Omega was returning from injury about as quickly as he possibly could have. And I had to work around the availability of Will Ospreay. So those are just some of the factors in it, Doc, but very complicated. And Forbidden Door and All Out both were affected by the injury bug. But honestly, I felt like I had a little bit more time to tie things together for All Out and get us in a really good place, because ahead of Forbidden Door, there were only 4 weeks between Double or Nothing and Forbidden Door, and two of the biggest stars on the Forbidden Door card, Punk and Danielson, were out. So it was really working to save that show. And then I had a bit more time to put this stuff together where, you know, at least coming out of Death Before Dishonor at the end of July, I had a pretty good idea when people would be back. And then really, I thought the month of August was really strong. And July 27th were really strong for AEW, where I feel like the last 5 shows of Dynamite have been really excellent. And I don't think it's just my opinion. You know, you can go to Cage Match and hundreds of fans just put their ratings on the matches like IMDb for movies. And this is one of the strongest 5-week runs in the history of the show. And I think it's in large part due to having some of the great stars back from injury. Thanks, Doc.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Tony. Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics is next. And Brandon will be followed by Amy Nemedy from WrestleJoy. Brandon?
Hi, Tony. Thanks for the time again.
I'm great, Brandon. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I would like to ask you about the Rampage ratings, if I could. The monthly averages for Rampage have been gradually a little bit lower sequentially in most months. Last year at this time, Rampage, of course, was doing very strong ratings. But even if you look back on January averaged a 0.23 rating in 1849. August just finished averaging a little over half that, a 0.14. And over time, we've seen fewer appearances on Rampage from people like Punk and Jericho and Moxley. Maybe that has something to do with it. But I'm wondering, what do you think the reason is for that trend in viewership for Rampage? And are you comfortable with the ratings for that show being what they are lately?
I'm so glad you asked, because you really set me up for something I'm really excited to talk about. Thank you very much, Brandon. I have seen that. So in anticipation of a lot of the top stars in AEW returning, this is the effect of a lot of the top stars out. It was, in my opinion, we kept the company really strong through the summer because the flagship show of AEW Dynamite has continued to have really strong ratings. So going into last night, we had 13 straight Wednesdays. I don't know last night's numbers yet, honestly, but going into last night, we had 13 straight Wednesdays where we've been one of the top 2 shows on cable. And I'm pretty sure the majority of the 13, like Brandon, you would know whether it's 9 or 10 out of the 13 weeks, we've been number 1 show on cable on Wednesdays. And it has been, honestly, now I can admit it, due to all the people coming back and the fact that it's just not going to be the case this Friday and going forward, because the stars are back, that you astutely kind of hinted at in your question, Brandon. A lot of the biggest stars in AEW have been out, And the stars I have had, I've really had to put them on Dynamite every single week. And almost every week, week in, week out, you could count on seeing, you know, Moxley and Jericho and the people who were in AEW on a weekly basis. Now we've had Kenny Omega, Adam Cole, and several others, in addition to CM Punk and Bryan Danielson, who I mentioned earlier, that have been out with injuries. These are all people that have had some of the highest rated and most important matches in the history of Rampage. I mean, when you, John Moxley is one of the biggest rating movers ever on that show. And the biggest rating we saw this year was his match with Wheeler Yuta. But now if you look all summer, for the almost every week with a couple of exceptions, John Moxley has been on Rampage a few times, but almost every week on Dynamite, pretty much every single week on Dynamite through that summer. And then again, Jericho has done appearance on commentary, but hasn't been able to wrestle on the show in a long time. Adam Cole was a fixture on the show wrestling. Jungle Boy has been, his program with Christian has been pretty focused on Dynamite, and that hasn't been as much due to injury as story focused, but I didn't want to take the focus off it just by throwing Jungle Boy in matches. And then there have been, because he's really more focused on a person than he is on his career at this point. And so honestly, I'm really excited, man, because I want to reset, and I am very cognizant for some of the fans that, you know, some of the, what I did with Rampage in the summer was try to make the best of a situation where I wanted to load the show up with stars, as we had in the beginning, where the first episode of Rampage, you had matches like Kenny Omega versus Christian. And in the first year, matches like Bryan Danielson versus Eddie Kingston and CM Punk versus Powerhouse Hobbs. We have not been able to offer those kind of matches because when those kind of guys have been healthy, I've had to put that kind of stuff on Dynamite, just to be honest. And now we're at a point where when the whole roster is back by this week, I think this Friday on the live Rampage, hopefully it'll be a preview of what's in store after All Out. Because I think after All Out, the roster is going to be in as strong as a place as it's been in a long time, if probably the strongest it's ever been. And I really believe then week in, week out, we'll have the roster the way I always wanted it to be, the way I think we got, at least we had a bit of time. I really felt like in late 2020, back half of 2021, when Rampage was first introduced, the roster was just in this amazing place. I talked about it a little bit today in an article that's on Yahoo. You know, it's kind of amazing where you had the first three AEW world champions were Jericho, Moxley, and Omega. And then we had these three great free agents come in around this time last year with Punk, Danielson, and Cole. And then within about a month, all of Jericho, Moxley, and Omega had to leave for different health reasons. And they're all out and gone. It was unthinkable. And all of a sudden, every week, I would say quietly backstage, like, oh my God, thank God I brought these three guys in. Because if we hadn't brought in Punk, Danielson, and Cole, I mean, the three programs that really got us through the end of the year and carried across the TV were Punk versus MJF, Danielson versus Hangman Page, and Orange Cassidy versus Adam Cole. And variations on the, I mean, really week in, week out, those drew. And it was so great to have those three guys in. Then Moxley and Jericho come back better than ever, and we lost all three of Punk, Danielson, and Cole. And now it's coming back together in the roster. I really feel like Brandon will be helped. And Rampage, I just want everyone to know, now that the roster is back, I can put my full attention into this. I know I said it in April, by the way, and a lot of things happened after April with the injury bug. I made these statements in April, and I really felt like it was moving in a great direction. The highest, I believe it's the highest rated Rampage of the year, was actually right after I kind of addressed some of this stuff. We did Moxley versus Yuta. The show was on fire. And then, of course, we had these injuries to Danielson, Punk, and Cole, right as we were really getting rolling with Jericho and Moxley coming back and not missing a beat. So that is what I believe, Brandon. I think with the star power coming back, you know, this week and in the coming weeks, you'll see a lot of stars returning to Rampage. The kind of big matches we did at the very beginning when we had a fully healthy roster to support the 3 hours of TV, or even really, honestly, you saw at Grand Slam, frankly, we could easily support 4 hours of TV with that roster and not miss a beat. And we showed that last year with Grand Slam. But, you know, we had lost so many guys. I could do 3 hours of TV, but not 3 hours where it's star, 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 star. I mean, you saw a Grand Slam, 4 hours of star, 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 star. So that's how I feel. And certainly it'll be helped because through the month of October and November, and of course this Friday, the first one in September, going into Labor Day weekend and All Out, will be live. And we have more live Rampages through the rest of this year than we have all year combined so far. So I'm excited for that. Thanks for the question, because it's something I really wanted to cover. Thank you, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon. Amy Nemedy from Wrestle Joy is next. I'm going to follow with the write-in after Amy from Kenny McIntosh at Inside the Ropes. Amy, you're up.
Hi, Tony. Last year's All Out was one of the best shows in AEW history, and it looks like this year's All Out is going to stack up very similarly from 0 hour to the pre-show all the way to the main event of All Out proper. This card is super stacked. But one of the matches that, or I guess two of them that I have my eye on, are the women's matches. We have two epic women's matches on the All Out card. We have Jamie Hayter, Toni Storm, Britt Baker, and Hikaru Shida fighting for the interim women's championship, and Jade Cargill and Athena fighting for the TBS championship. Both of these matches have a lot of history between the opponents and a lot of rich storytelling within the women's division. What was it like putting these matches together? And do you have any expectations that there might be some surprise match stealers within these women's matches?
Well, it's a great question. I'm very excited for both matches. Really excited to have Athena in AEW. She's been tremendous. It's great to have someone of her experience. And I think it's going to be a great matchup of styles with Athena versus Jade. It is certainly with Jade's size, in some ways you'd consider Athena the underdog, but with Athena's experience, I think that gives her a big advantage. So we'll hear these two women and what they have to say tomorrow night on Rampage. They're going to sit down with Mark Henry and get a preview of the fight, and we'll have a little bit more of an idea what to expect from Jade Cargill versus Athena for the TBS title. So I'm really excited for that and excited to hear what they have to say with Mark on Rampage tomorrow night. And as for the four-way, I really enjoyed the tag team match between the four participants in that interim world championship match. It was really a light bulb thing, just like I felt really strong about setting up an eliminator and going into Forbidden Door with a great main event of Moxley versus Tanahashi, even though it was not what we had originally planned. I think it's worked out great. And obviously John now is a great world champion for AEW, and we have a great rematch coming up with John Moxley versus CM Punk. Well, the interim title situation here, when Thunder Rosa made it clear she was injured, I felt the same way I did when CM Punk got hurt. You know, we have a great champion who's injured. We need to protect the champion and protect the championship and make sure the fans are getting great championship matches and keep the title situation hot. So I thought the right thing to do, and what we did, was have Thunder Rosa take some time, have her injuries heal, and crown an interim women's world champion. I think it's going to be a great match, and it took me not long to come up with who I thought the four best wrestlers for this match would be, because I think that it's just so clear. You have former world champion Hikaru Shida. She picked up the big win in the match last night. She's excellent. Her partner, the number one contender, Toni Storm, I felt like she had an amazing match with Thunder Rosa. They formed a great partnership, and I thought Toni was a very worthy top contender and still is. And I think, they were excellent in the tag match last night too, so it's interesting. And also really good to have former world champion Dr. Britt Baker here in the mix here. She's got a lot of history with both Hikaru Shida and Toni Storm, and be very interesting to see how things develop with Jamie Hayter. It's going to be every woman for herself and all of them fighting for the interim world championship. So that'll be something to keep an eye on, of course, with the close friendship and relationship between Dr. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter, both in that match fighting for the title. So I'm really excited for it. I think that's four of the best wrestlers in the company. So I think that's going to be an awesome match. And I don't think anybody has any idea what to expect, which is really good, and should be an awesome, awesome match. And so I'm excited for both of those title matches. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Amy. After I read Kenny McIntosh's write-in question, we're going to go to Jay Shell Nicole from Inclusive Creations. So, Tony, what Kenny's got here is he's talking a little bit about Punk and Moxley going at each other, having a match on television to help build for the pay-per-view. Did you see that as a risky strategy, or did you feel like that was the way to go?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Can you one more time? Can you tell me with one more time? Read that. Sorry.
Sure. You know, he's kind of curious as to, you know, the idea of doing a different kind of a build-up with Punk and Moxley by doing a match on television leading into a match between those two on a pay-per-view. You know, is that a sort of a taking a chance by doing that? Or
yeah, definitely. Sure. Got it. Well, thanks for the question. And I appreciate it. I've certainly, now I understand. And I think it's a question that's come up a lot. And I just want to double check and make sure I got the gist of it, which I think I do. It's a great question. A lot of people are asking it. And I do think it's been a big benefit. And it's different than what we've typically done. And it's funny because it's from one extreme to the other, because I've done go home shows where all the hay is in the barn. And sometimes it can be a challenge. And you're really just, you have everything teed up and you're really just kind of taking practice swings almost at a ball that's already on the tee. In this case, I knew it was going to be a fast and furious buildup, but I think the anticipation has been even stronger. I wouldn't say we should do it like this every time, but this is, I believe, the 15th pay-per-view for AEW. And we've never done anything like this. And I think it made the build very exciting. It's raised a lot of questions going into the match. There's a lot of speculation about what the future holds for both men, what the future holds for the championship, and what's going to happen in Jon Moxley versus CM Punk Part 2 based on what happened in that match on TV. It also was undeniably a great ratings draw for us. We had a tremendous audience last week, and I think most of the people, or a large percentage of the people on the call, at least hopefully, would have seen the press release that Warner Brothers Discovery put out in support of the tremendous ratings we pulled last week, which was, you know, again, we were the number one show on cable and had a big lift week over week. And the biggest thing of all that, you know, I thought was really, really cool was I thought we built even more interest and intrigue in the pay-per-view while doing the biggest total audience the show has done since February. So I was really pleased with it. Now I know what it created was a week of people loudly wondering what the heck is going on here. This is crazy. And I think there's, in this case, that was good. So no, now that we're close to the pay-per-view and we had that amazing show last night, and I feel like a lot of people were wondering what the heck's going on here. And the promos that John and Punk did, I think, reeled a lot of people back in. And in particular, hearing what CM Punk had to say in Chicago, I think people are up to see this great title fight on Sunday. So thanks, Jim. I appreciate you giving me that question. And, you know, I really do feel very good about where we're at with it now that we've had some great TV, and I think there's a lot of excitement going into Sunday's pay-per-view.
No question about that. Thank you, Kenny, for asking that of Tony. Jay Shell Nicole from Inclusive Creations is up next. Jay Shell will be followed by Jim Barcelone from the Miami Herald. Jay Shell.
Hi, Tony. I hope all is well. I'm so excited for this show, especially with all of the amazing representation of people of color, specifically Black people on this card. Can you speak a little bit about how intentional this was, if at all?
Well, I've been trying to push the best wrestlers and build the strongest roster, and something that I really wanted to do for many years was build the best roster of diverse stars in wrestling. And it was something that I'm not sure I dreamed the level of free agent stars that would come in that helped make it possible on one side. The other side was homegrown stars. And you'll see this card has a really good mix of those. There are a lot of the homegrown stars that years ago we were developing in AEW, and people would complain that, hey, AEW, are you going to get a lot of top diverse stars? And what my answer a lot, 2 years ago about a lot of this stuff is, please trust me, I want to build stars in AEW and also sign the best free agents. And a lot of the best free agents just hadn't become available yet. And as soon as they did, I was ready to jump on those contracts. So internally, and I would have named these people, even a couple of years ago or last year for sure, that were building up stars. We have, of course, Dante Martin wrestling in the ladder match, one of our really young wrestlers. Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks is a match that has been building really for almost 2 years. And the two have really been connected even longer than that. But they were both in the Casino Battle Royale at All Out 2020. Shortly after, Will Hobbs joined Team Taz, and they went on a great run as a unit, both as singles and as partners. They're two of the real homegrown stars of AEW, and that's a great example of people that, a long time ago I saw that I really believe could be stars, and that we've been building up as homegrown stars. Then you have the World Tag Team Championship match with, again, a great homegrown AEW act, the Acclaimed, who were two individuals who I thought had a lot of potential as singles wrestlers and had really brought into a meeting, and they didn't know why they were in a meeting with me together. And I asked them about becoming a tag team, the Acclaimed, and I'd seen Max doing these awesome raps on Twitter about pro wrestling, mostly pro wrestling and pop culture. And I thought they were incredible. And I asked him, do you think you could do those every week as your entrance for the Acclaimed? And we started experimenting with it in Daly's Place almost 2 years ago. And it's become one of my favorite acts, one of my favorite things in pro wrestling. They're two of my favorite people. And I'm so happy the Acclaimed have earned this opportunity on pay-per-view. Their opponents are two amazing wrestlers who I never would have dreamed a year ago could be in AEW so soon. They were released from their contracts, and I think any wrestling company in the world is very fortunate to have two stars like Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, the World Tag Team Champions. And that's a great example of the homegrown stars of AEW fighting these big free agents I never would have dreamed would become available. So it's been a mix of the two things, I really believe, where we were working for years to build up a diverse roster of stars, and then also big free agents came out there. And so it's a perfect mix. And it's led to this pay-per-view, which has the best representation of any pay-per-view we've ever done. And I understand it's some of the best representation ever on any wrestling pay-per-view. So I'm really excited about that. And also another great example of the homegrown star versus the big free agent, Jade Cargill versus Athena for the TBS title. Just like I was talking about with the World Tag Team Championship, it's another great tag team championship match where you have the homegrown star of AEW. This time, the homegrown star is the champion, not the challenger, and taking on a big free agent who's been on international TV and is known to many people even outside of AEW, and comes in with a great reputation. So I think these matches across the card, I'm really excited about. Also, Jay Lethal is in that match, and you have six of the best wrestlers in the world. I think Wardlow is constantly growing and improving, and a great way for Wardlow to keep getting better as a great TNT champion for us is putting him in there with the very best. And Wardlow is going to be surrounded with five of the greatest veteran pro wrestlers on the planet, with Dax, Cash, FTR, the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, the New Japan, IWGP, World Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, and the AAA Lucha Libre Tag Team Champions. Of course, Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns, who we're really excited to have in AEW. So all those matches and all those wrestlers, really excited about that. And Jay Lethal, a great veteran, and another great example of somebody that, a couple years ago, I wouldn't have expected to be in AEW, but another great veteran presence with a great reputation as a wrestler. And so all of that coming together, I think, has made this card much stronger and gotten me very excited for it. And so I think with a great mix, to your question of you know, something we've worked for years to build stars in AEW and also to sign the best free agents. And this card is a great mix of those plans.
Thank you, Jay Shell. Jim Barcelone from the Miami Herald, you are up next. Jim will be followed by Justin Schlegel from 98 Rock in Baltimore. James.
Hey, thank you, Tony, Jim, and everybody. I was curious, because talking a lot about the injuries, and when you're putting now the storylines together, and maybe you have in the past, I don't know, but do you have a plan B now moving forward when you're putting these together, or no, you just go with it and then just see what happens?
I think in the back of your mind, you know, similar in sports where you have roster depth, in a way, when you build that roster depth, that is your backup plan. But it's not always that simple. A great, you know, Forbidden Door was more of very quick. I need to take this plug out and switch it with this one and move, you know, rewiring things. Whereas building to All Out, I was still able to get to the big matches I really wanted that I thought would be the amazing headline matches for this show. We had to find a different way to get there. So with Punk and Mox, we found, I think, a really exciting way that got a ton of buzz, that these are two of the greatest talkers in wrestling, and they still talk their talk. You know, week one and week three, I guess we, if you want to call week zero, the Quake by the Lake with the surprise Punk return, then for the following 3 weeks, I mean, week three and week one, they did some great talking. Week two, the action happened in the ring. I do think, with the time we had, this was the most exciting way we could have presented it. And I do think people would have been really amped for the match had they just talked for 3 weeks instead of doing the match in the middle. But now there's way more buzz about the match. And nobody knows what's going to happen coming out of that. And I think that's awesome. And also it really helped the TV and the pay-per-view. So it was a unique way to approach it. But I was able to still hit on stuff for this pay-per-view that I wanted to get to. I mean, it's hard to beat Jon Moxley versus CM Punk for the AEW World Championship and American Dragon Bryan Danielson versus Lionheart Chris Jericho. So we got to where I wanted to get for this pay-per-view. For Forbidden Door, we just weren't going to be able to do the matches because Punk and Danielson weren't going to be on the show. It wasn't like I was going to be able to rush to get to their matches. I had to completely change the build. And so that was a little bit of a different situation where it's not like, hey, we'll switch plans, consolidate some things, do some different ways to jumpstart things in the middle. That was more like, instead of tearing the card up like I did at Forbidden Door and build the best card I could with what was available. And if you only knew some of the stories that people don't know leading up to it, I mean, it's a wild one. That the way Forbidden Door came off, I'm really proud of everyone involved. It was one of the best days we've had. And, you know, this we were able to do the things I wanted to do, we just had to do them differently. Whereas for Forbidden Door, I basically rewired the whole card and said, okay, well, you know, because I think I've admitted this before, but there were some big matches we didn't get to do. You know, it was going to be Punk and FTR against Ospreay and Aussie Open. And that's a dream match, I really believe. And then I also had a great idea for a Punk and Tanahashi tag match going in. I almost don't want to say what it is in case I ever do it later. And that would have been, I think, one of the most anticipated matches of the year if you knew who they were going to wrestle. And it all worked out really well and was a great pay-per-view, but it just was kind of a flash decision that Moxley versus Tanahashi was something we've been saving, so it was good to have a backup plan like that, even though I wasn't conscious I'd be using it on the show. And then moving Mox and Tanahashi stuff into what was already happening with Moxley and Jericho and everything around the Blood and Guts that we were building to around the same time as Forbidden Door. So anyway, you do try to have depth, and that can lead you to backup plans. And then it's a question, do you change your plans entirely, or do you just find a different way to get from point A to point C by taking a different route through point B? Thanks for asking, by the way. It's a good question about how things get done.
Thank you, Jim. All right, as promised, I've got a question here, Tony, Justin Schlegel will be next from 98 Rock Baltimore. And then we have a write-in from Joey Williamson from Hollywood's World of Sports. So, Justin, you're up.
Tony, another great all-out card looks like it's upon us, and the Forbidden Door philosophy is all over this with Motor City Machine Guns coming in from Impact, a legendary team, Tomohiro Ishii being added to the pre-show with Eddie Kingston from New Japan. It looks to be another incredible card, and with some of the recent corporate changes over on the other channel other night with WWE, do you possibly think it's more likely, less likely, or the same for a Forbidden Door situation with them down the line, now that it seems like their executive hierarchy is a lot different than it's been, well, since forever? Do you possibly envision maybe working with them with the changes over there, the way you work with Impact, New Japan, AAA, and others now?
I was pretty optimistic when they first made the change, but I'm less optimistic now, given how they've treated me. Thank you.
Justin, we appreciate that. Okay, as promised, now this time I've got the write-in from Joey Williamson from Hollywood's World of Sports. And Joey will be, this write-in question will be followed by John Orchiola from Screen Rant. So John, be ready. Joey asks Tony, he's kind of curious. He knows that you have said in previous interviews that you would not do any unification bouts between AEW and Ring of Honor champions. And Claudio, but if Claudio wins the casino ladder match on Sunday, would you reconsider having both championships on the line?
Well, it's a great question. If Claudio wins, he's under no obligation to put his championship on the line. And if Yuta wins, it would not be necessarily a pure rules match. So in that case, I would not probably sanction a unification match unless it was under pure rules. So it's something to think about with these champions being involved in the match, but certainly one of the intriguing points would be if Claudio does win, he would be in line for a title shot. You know, we have great champions in Ring of Honor who also are in line to fight for titles in AEW and vice versa. A lot of the top stars in AEW are able to go over and fight for titles in Ring of Honor. I do think it would be challenging for an AEW champion and a Ring of Honor champion to meet the obligations on a week in, week out basis of both the titles, because there's they'd be expected to defend those belts a lot against a lot of different wrestlers from both companies, potentially, especially hopefully when we get Ring of Honor going on a weekly basis, which is still something I'm working regularly to get to make happen. And I think it would be very interesting if Claudio does win the ladder match. Certainly the Ring of Honor world champion would be in a great position to challenge for the AEW World Championship.
Fantastic. Thank you for answering that question, Tony. So John Orchiola from Screen Rant is next. John, I hope I was pronouncing your last name appropriately. Forgive me if not. And then Samantha Shipman from Daily DDT will follow John. John, you're up.
Hello. Hey. Hi, Tony. Hey, great to speak to you.
Hey, John.
So I wanted to follow up the question about the women's division and Thunder Rosa's injury, which threw a wrench in the plans at All Out. So as you said, four of the best wrestlers in AEW are wrestling for the interim title on Sunday. Are you looking at All Out as an opportunity to shake up and refresh the women's title and the women's division as a whole?
Honestly, yes, I am. I think it will be great to have four of the best wrestlers in that match. And I think it's a very fresh matchup. And I do think it's going to be a really exciting match on the card. And I'm trying to look at it as a positive. And whenever you have a great wrestler injured, it's a very negative situation, but you have to make the best of bad situations. Just as it was very difficult to lose a lot of the top wrestlers, top stars, and even a great world champion like CM Punk, no matter who it is. You have to try to move on and make the best of a situation. So I am looking forward to hopefully having a great four-way match. And then, you know, whenever Thunder Rosa, the champion, does return, it sets up a great unification match with the champion versus the interim champion to crown an undisputed women's world champion. So I do think it'll be an exciting match. And even though it's terrible to lose Thunder Rosa, who's a great wrestler, it is great to have these three awesome contenders coming into the match. We already had the number one contender, Toni Storm, and I have so much respect for Jamie Hayter, who had a great match with Thunder Rosa at Battle of the Belts, and I think deserves another chance at the title, and the number one contender, Toni Storm, and of course, you know, who's in line for the shot, but also former champions, Hikaru Shida, and of course, Dr. Britt Baker, should be a great match.
Thank you, Toni. Thank you, John. Samantha Shipman from the Daily DDT is next. I'm going to follow Samantha with a write-in from Conrad Cushman from Everything Pro Wrestling. Samantha.
Hi, Toni. Thank you for the time today. Sticking with the conversation around Thunder Rosa and the match that was put together for Sunday, there's been a lot of criticism for the fact that Thunder Rosa was given time to talk about her injury in a video that fits on Twitter, while CM Punk got 8 minutes to talk about his injury. CM Punk, or the AEW interim world title, was given a full tournament, including Tanahashi and Hiroki Goto. And then the women kind of had a match that it feels more or less thrown together. And so what do you say to the criticism of that? And why wasn't Thunder Rosa given more time to make it feel like her championship is just important as the world championship?
Well, I strongly disagree with that. And I very strongly disagree with that. You know, I give the TV time based on what I believe is going to draw the most ratings. And if you want my honest opinion on an 8-minute Thunder Rosa promo versus an 8-minute CM Punk promo, then you're going to get an honest answer. And I think the 8-minute CM Punk promo is probably going to do a better rating. Now, as far as match length, I think Thunder Rosa's had some great matches as champion. And to come out and do a live 8-minute promo, I'm not sure that would have been good for the television show, to be honest with you. And especially given where we were at, that Thunder Rosa, I found out she was injured a few hours before a live television show. I don't really have time to put an 8-minute promo in when I had just a couple hours notice versus CM Punk. I knew days earlier that he was pretty badly hurt. And we had already made a plan 2 days earlier for that. Furthermore, a lot of people criticized the way John got to his match with Tanahashi. So I guess you can't please everybody no matter what you do. And I've actually seen more people excited about the four-way match with Shida versus Britt Baker versus Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm than they were for the original match. And I think the four-way is one of the more anticipated matches on the card. And I've seen people way more excited about that, honestly, than in some cases, the way we got through the casino Battle Royal match. I think Kyle O'Reilly is one of the best wrestlers in the world, but you know, some people complained when I had Kyle get that opportunity. To be honest, John versus Kyle was one of my personal favorite TV matches. I have watched that match so many times. I loved all the details of it. I will literally now tell you about them. Like I will tell, you know, I went online and talked about stuff in that match that was tremendous. So I thought it was great, but, you know, whether it was the grip out of the pile driver, you know, that John used the Gotch pile driver, and then Kyle managed to reverse it into a triangle choke that he passed into a leg submission. So when John went back to work on Kyle after he escaped the submission, he didn't use a Gotch pile driver. He used a conventional one so he wouldn't get caught in another triangle. The little details of storytelling, like I thought it was a great match, but a lot of people didn't think it was the right way to get to the interim, but I think it was tremendous. And now we've gone through a great summer with a great interim champion. So there were people criticizing that too. I've seen probably less people, although there may be some criticizing how we got to this. But, you know, you can't necessarily please everybody. But I do think in this case, it's really been very positive, given the situation we're in, where you find out the champion is out a couple weeks before the pay-per-view and you have to scramble. So I actually had less time in the case of this to get the situation resolved than I did with John, where there were a few weeks before Forbidden Door to build it up. And there was more time before the TV show to prepare the promo. I think if you want my honest opinion, and look, that's just a fact, okay? As far as what's going to draw a rating with somebody talking for 8 minutes. And then the build of the matches, like I'm super excited for Dr. Britt Baker versus Hikaru Shida versus Jamie Hayter versus Toni Storm. And I think a lot of people are probably more excited for that than they were for how we got to the first interim title. So. But you know, you're definitely entitled to your opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. Here's the write-in from Conrad Cushman, and we're going to follow Conrad with Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful. But here's first a question, Toni, from Conrad. at Everything Pro Wrestling. What went into bringing back the show name Zero Hour for the All Out pre-show versus using the name of the buy-in?
Well, it's a great question. The original pay-per-view that the Young Bucks and Cody and a lot of great independent wrestlers put together at All In before I was involved when they worked at Ring of Honor was led up to the pay-per-view with the Zero Hour. And I thought the Zero Hour was really cool. And I actually brought it back when I took over Ring of Honor because it was associated with Ring of Honor and All In. And it's a cool piece of IP we acquired, I thought. And in coming back to this building, I just think knowing the history of All Out, the history of All In, and it just felt really cool. And especially this, we've had great matches on the buy-in in the past, but this feels stronger. Like with where the roster's at and the kind of matches we can do in this hour, I wanted to present something new, something fresh. And being back in this building, I wanted to get the energy of the Zero Hour back. I think the buy-in is great for Double or Nothing, and I think I might keep the buy-in as the pre-show for Double or Nothing. But in this case, I don't even see Zero Hour as a pre-show. It's his own event. And it's the first AEW event ever streamed on Instagram, which I think is really cool. And as always, it's available on AEW Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And then we have also, you know, just an awesome lineup of matches. I think with Pac defending the All-Atlantic Championship against Kip Sabian, Hook versus Cool Hand Ange. I might announce one more thing tomorrow night on Rampage, and I'm really excited about what we've announced with Eddie Kingston versus Tomohiro Ishii Part 2, which is a rematch of a great match they had in New Japan earlier this year at Capital Collision, with Ishii picking up a big win over Eddie and Eddie looking for some revenge. So I am fired up for this pay-per-view and also fired up for the Zero Hour, and I just think it's a great way to kick the show off and get people excited and hopefully give people around the world a great free wrestling show. In addition to all the paid streaming wrestling that's on this weekend, I think it, you know, anybody in the world should be able, if they have an internet connection, to watch Zero Hour and get 1 hour of great free pro wrestling, you know, even if you don't have the money to afford buying a pay-per-view. And I know there's going to be a lot of fans, I expect, you know, six figures worth of homes buying this pay-per-view and, you know, millions of dollars of pay-per-view revenue. But you want to think of every fan. And that's why I think it's really cool to be able to offer at least a great hour of standalone pro wrestling to everybody. And then also for those people watching, try to get them, if they can afford it and if they're able to do it, to buy the pay-per-view on Sunday night, which I think we built a great tradition over Labor Day weekend. And if you think back, you know, this is the fourth All Out. And before All Out, there was All In. And it started with the Zero Hour here in Hoffman Estates in the same arena. So I just thought it was a very cool way to build up that hour of matches.
Thank you, Conrad. Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful is next. And we're going to follow Sean with Nick Hausman. We have 10 minutes. Sean, you're up.
Hey, Tony. It was clear that Eddie Kingston and Sammy were set for this show, and obviously some things happened, and they were both very transparent about what happened, but it seems like those issues are rectified. Do you think there's an opportunity for us to see sort of a resolution to that feud that had started a while back?
I'm not sure. I think it would be a great match, and at one point, you know, the challenge was out there, but I'm not sure. It's something to see. Obviously, the two guys have not gotten along, and sometimes that lends itself very well to a pro wrestling match to see people settle their differences in the ring. I think that's what we all like to see. So I would certainly be up for it if it's something where they both wanted to sign the contract and get in the ring with each other. But, you know, it takes, in this case, three to tango. And I'm there, but I'm only one of the three.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Tony. Nick Hausman from Wrestling Inc. is next, and Nick will be followed by Bill Pritchard from WrestleZone. Nick?
Hello, Tony. Thanks so much for taking the time today.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
My pleasure. My question is, there was this reported mandatory talent meeting backstage recently. I just want to know from your perspective how you thought the meeting went, and if you could give us any insight into why you held the meeting, what was trying to be accomplished with that particular meeting.
It's a great question. There was a meeting, and we went over a lot of different things. You know, there were dozens of points that came up. I think it was just a lot of housekeeping, honestly, and we hadn't sat down together. And we used to do this on a pretty regular basis in Daly's place, and it's not something we had done in a while. And, you know, a variety of things had come up, and it's stuff that I think was good to stay behind closed doors. Some of it did stay behind closed doors, amazingly, but a lot of it came out. And some of the things I saw reported from the meeting were pretty accurate. Some of the things were wildly inaccurate. So it definitely across the spectrum of reports, I saw some stuff that I was like, wow, that's like being a fly on the wall. Then I saw other stuff and I said, okay, that never happened. So, but it probably, that's pretty much a day in wrestling journalism, to be honest with you. Not just that particular meeting. I thought it was good for us all to get together and talk about a number of things. There was one issue that had come up that people have seen stuff written about, and I don't really want to get into it. If somebody asked me, I guess I would get into it a little bit more, but there were some issues that talent had come to us about and said, I think you should probably know about this. And based on the talent coming to us and telling us that, and giving us their feedback and telling us stuff that had happened with them, to them, both in the company and things happening outside the company from other companies even. And based on what the talent was saying to us, we thought it was good to have a meeting with everybody. And I thought the meeting went really well. Certainly this week was really positive. Week of television, and I think really good energy going into the pay-per-view. And everybody felt really strong about last night's show, and it was a good time at the arena. And so I think it was a really positive meeting.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Tony. We're going to go with Bill Pritchard from WrestleZone, and I'm going to end the show with a write-in from Izzy Slavani. So I'm going to end with a write-in, unusual, but we're running out of time here. But Bill Pritchard from WrestleZone, you're next.
Hey, Tony, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, cool. Thanks for taking the time. In looking at the All Out card, I know you said that, you know, there's a lot of matches already confirmed. You might announce some more stuff, but I was curious how much of a decision, or how important was it to ensure maybe Ring of Honor was represented on the show? I know Claudio and Yuta are in the casino match, but as of right now, there, you know, unless you could speak otherwise, there's no confirmed Ring of Honor events coming up. So was that a decision, or was that on your mind when building out this card, that you still want to make sure that Ring of Honor has a pay-per-view presence?
Well, that is a big part of it. But to be honest, I want to do the best AEW show I can do this weekend for the AEW fans. And that involves bringing the best wrestlers in the world. And in my opinion, in this case, a lot of the best wrestlers in the world are champions in Ring of Honor. And Mercedes Martinez, the women's world champion of Ring of Honor, is actually out with an injury, but will be back soon. But a lot of the other Ring of Honor world champions are represented on this card. And in particular, FTR, I think, are a credit to any wrestling event they're on, including this pay-per-view. I think that's going to be a great match with six great stars, six very different great wrestlers in one awesome trios match, with some great champions on that team, with TNT champ Wardlow and FTR, who are the Ring of Honor World Tag Champs. And of course, you mentioned Claudio, and we have Wheeler Yuta in that great casino ladder match. And I think if you're going to put a great field of wrestlers together and fighting for the top prize in AEW, you're going to want to bring in the best wrestlers. And in this case, I do think Claudio and Yuta are two of the best, and they are also champions in Ring of Honor, in addition to being great members of the Blackpool Combat Club here in AEW. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Bill. Thank you, Tony. And as promised, we're going to finish here with a write-in from Izzy from the Hot Tag with Izzy. She wrote in, Tony, recently on Busted Open, you said that you left a lot of storylines open going into All Out. However, last night we saw some storylines sort of bridge the gap between now and Sunday, like John Moxley versus CM Punk. So would you say that there is a storyline that's still open going into Sunday that fans really had a, should be keeping an eye on maybe tomorrow night?
Can you, Jim, can you, sorry, can you give me that one more time, Jim, that Ray Dan?
Yeah.
So I make sure I understand it.
Well, recently on Busted Open, you said that you left a lot of storylines open going into All Out. But then last night, some of those storylines sort of bridged the gap. You know, we started, started coming together. But are there still some storylines that maybe we need to kind of keep an eye on that will sort of crystallize between now and Sunday night?
I think the pay-per-view card has come together really well. I was referring to that we would get a world championship match signed and delivered for Sunday night. On Wednesday, of course, now we know that it will be the undisputed world champion, John Moxley, versus the former champion and the number one contender, CM Punk, in this great rematch at All Out. And in addition to that, we also sealed up this big trios match with the House of Black versus this dream trio nobody knew they wanted, but the fans last night certainly reacted huge when they saw Sting, Darby, and Miro together. And that was awesome. So I think the House of Black versus Sting and Darby and Miro is another great match we added to the card. So the pay-per-view card is looking pretty strong. I potentially am open to adding stuff to either the pay-per-view or the Zero Hour. And I think if you watch Rampage tomorrow night, you may see a little bit more, but definitely your point, Jim, and the point of the write-in question, I guess the write-in questions point, that it certainly we certainly did bridge some of those gaps, I thought, and tightened it up last night on Dynamite, and we'll get one step closer to All Out. The final stop on the road to All Out is of course tomorrow night. We have Rampage followed by the countdown to All Out on TNT. It's another reason to watch tomorrow night. We'll have some great wrestling on the show, including the Rampage Trios tournament finals. But the countdown shows, I think, feature some of the best promos and interviews in pro wrestling. And they're on TNT. And to the people who say you got to put all these promos on TV, you know, you can't just put the good promos on the internet. Like, why aren't they putting these on TV? Because I do see a lot of that. Well, the show's on TV. It's on TNT. And I would love for you to watch it, please. It's on after Rampage. And we would love love your viewership and love for you to check it out. And it will be a great preview for All Out, which I expect will be a great pay-per-view. And it's a really great tradition we built over Labor Day weekend now. And it's in large part due to all of you. And a lot of you on the call were people who went to the original All In, who came to our original scrums, who were at the original Double or Nothing, and have, I don't want to say supported the company because it's not necessarily your job, but in covering the company and in covering pro wrestling, and you do support pro wrestling, which we are a part of. And whether you agree with everything we do or not, by spending your time covering pro wrestling and getting this info out there, and the time and attention you show to the sport and the wrestlers and the people who work in the business, you know, you make all this possible. So thank you very much to everybody on the call. And I'm sorry if I didn't get to your question. I will really try to get to everybody who comes to the scrum, try to make sure they get to answer a question, either of me or one of the wrestlers while you're there, if you traveled All Out. And if you didn't get to answer a question, and if you didn't, you're not going to be at All Out to ask a question. Well, I really hope I get to answer one of your questions soon. And I'm sorry if I didn't get to it today, but thank you everyone. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Tony. And just to echo, we on our side here, we want to thank everyone for being a part of today's call, and as always, for your interest in coverage of wrestling, the industry, and AEW in particular. We really value what each of you bring to the industry. It's not overlooked. So with that, we're gonna wrap it up. We hope you all have a great day. Look forward to seeing you Sunday night, hopefully at All Out, and then don't forget Rampage tomorrow night. So again, on behalf of everybody at All Elite Wrestling, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.